Over the past several weeks, Pastor has been working on a series relating how the whole Bible, if you had your Bible with you this morning, how many of you had your Bible? Hold it up. Okay. Jim, that doesn't count. Larry, that doesn't count.
Yeah, it does.
No, you guys can hear it. Electronic stuff, that's good. The whole Bible is pointing us to the story of God's plan. It's not just small sections. It's not just small stories. And he's been conveying that very well. I have enjoyed these messages. Last week was Joseph and those before. And I've studied the Word just about all my life. I've been involved in study in some way since I was a teen. And I found that to be true, that if you study Genesis, you will see how it portrays in the life of Jesus. And if you study Revelation, you will see how it is connected to Ezekiel. And you'll see how it's all connected. It's not just individual stories, but they're all tied together. And as Pastor's been going through these, he told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, "Well, it looks like you're going to have the topic of Moses." I thought, Moses, now that's a pretty wide topic. How many know Moses' parents' names? Raise your hand if you don't. Don't say it. I wouldn't hear you anyway. But if you know their names, raise your hand. Amram and Jochebed. Now you all know. Amram and Jochebed. We can talk about that. We can talk about how Moses was put in a little basket at 3 months of age and put out in the Nile River. Pharaoh had said, "Throw all the Egyptian boys in the water. We're going to get too many of them. Throw them in the water. Throw them in the Nile." And Jochebed said, "No, I'm not throwing him in the water, but I'll obey. I'll put him in the water." And she puts him in a basket and floats him out of the reeds. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him and raises him. We can talk about that. We can talk about at the age of 40 how Moses goes out and he sees his fellow Jews being persecuted and beaten as they're making bricks. And he kills one of the Egyptians and hides him in the sand. And he's found out and he has to run. We can talk about that, but we're not going to. We can talk about him spending the next 40 years of his life raising sheep with his father-in-law. 40 years. We're not going to talk about that either. We can talk about the burning bush. We can talk about a lot of things. But as I thought about Pastor's goal in this, and he's explained this to me, his goal is to help us realize that God is working from cover to cover in this book. Cover to cover. To show us and to teach us about his love. This has been kind of a speech that I've made since I was probably 25, and I will make it again this morning. If you're not reading this, you don't really care what God says. And you're saying this much. If this book lays on your bedstand or on your mantle or whatever, and you can say, "Yeah, I've got a Bible," but you're not reading it, basically what you're telling God is, "God, I don't care what you say." A little harsh, maybe, but it's true. If you're not in here, if you're not reading this, you don't care what God says. And as Pastor was talking about how this whole book relates to the redemption story, the only thing I can speak of when it comes to the life of Moses is the blood. Passover. The time when the children of Israel were going to be coming out of Egypt. And God tells Moses, "Take blood, Moses, and spread it on your door. Smear blood on your door, Moses, and every door of the Israelites." That's gross to us. but not really. I want you to raise your hand. Does blood make you squeamish? Nobody has a problem with blood. See, you can't say a blood panic. Yesterday, one of my little grandsons was sitting at the table, 3 years old, just being free, just having a great time. He'd done everything right at the table. He'd eaten all his food. He was just sitting there, just carrying on, and he just banged his face right on the edge of the table and hit himself in the mouth. His joy went to sorrow immediately, just screaming, and I looked, and here was blood coming from his mouth. Didn't last even 2 seconds, it was done. Whenever we see blood, we know something's going on. When I was in school and we did our little sports things, they said, well, there's no blood, so there must not be any foul. But when there's blood, yeah, something's happening. Why is that? If blood is being shed, it's serious. Until there's blood, it's just not as serious. You don't need to turn here unless you want to, but if you want to go back in the Bible, go way, way back to Genesis. When Adam and Eve sinned, remember how they tried to cover up their sin? I thought about that this week. They took fig leaves, the Bible says. They took fig leaves and sewed them together. Now, these fig leaves were nice and green when they picked them. And they were sewing them together and patching them together so they could cover their bodies. Because they realized, oh my goodness, we're naked. Can you imagine how long those fig leaves stayed nice and fresh and green? Maybe an hour. And they started to shrivel. And they started to shrink. Oh my goodness, I'm showing again. And so they would get more leaves and sew them together. It was a constant battle trying to cover up their shame and cover up their nakedness physically. And then God came walking in the garden and they tried to hide because they were ashamed. Genesis 3:7, and the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Genesis 3:21. Notice the difference. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Now when Adam and Eve sewed their clothes together, it was plants, leaves. But when God did it, it wasn't plants. Most theologians, and I know there's nothing in it that says this, the Bible does not say this, so I'm using some license here, but most theologians will agree that these skins were not just poof out of thin air. And I'd like you, in your imagination, whether I'm accurate in this or not, just go with me, because I think you'll get the point. I'd like you to imagine for a moment, here's Adam and Eve. I don't know if they were sitting or standing. I don't know if they were kneeling. And it almost has to be the other way here. You have to have God here, God on the platform. And I don't know if they were sitting or kneeling or what they were doing. But for the first time in their lives, and don't know how long that's been, from creation of the first sin, we don't really know how long that is. But for the first time in their life, they have shame. Up until this point, they have not had shame. Can you imagine? No guilt. Absolutely never done anything wrong up until this point. But here they are, Almighty God standing before them in His presence, however that appeared, I don't know. Naked, and they're ashamed. And God didn't stand there with a hammer ready to beat him. That's not our God. Rodney, thank you for what you told me last week. Rodney reminded me last week of three main things about God. The one I'm going to mention this morning is he loves us. And this loving God was before Adam and Eve, and he said, I know you're ashamed. You should be. I'm sorry for what you did, but I will provide for you. And so while Adam and Eve watch, again, this is taking some license, as Adam and Eve watch, God takes maybe a calf, maybe a lamb, maybe even a deer, I don't know. Some kind of animal. And while Adam and Eve watch, God uses his way and kills this animal as they're watching. Does he cut its throat? I don't know. But the blood from this animal flows out on the ground. The first time Adam and Eve had seen blood. I went to Haiti in 1985, and of course, you're the only white person there. And I was doing something, I was welding or something, I don't even remember what was going on, and I cut my finger, and I'm a good bleeder. I bleed really good. And I cut my finger, and it just started running. And those black boys, they stood there, they could not believe that we white folks had the same color blood as theirs. But can you picture Adam and Eve as they watched this calf slowly lose its strength as the blood flows out of it? And then however God does it, he takes the skin of that animal, sews it, stitches it, forms it, whatever he does, and covers Adam and Eve. Every time they put those clothes on, maybe they wear them all the time, I don't know, but every moment of the day, they realize that someone had to die to cover them. Did you know that there was not any fear? The animals, whether it was a deer or a cow or whatever it was, did you know the animals were not afraid of Adam and Eve? Did you know that? Because God does not put fear of man into animals until after the flood. Some actually say, now I don't know if this is true, and I guess they don't either, some actually say that the animals probably communicated with Adam and Eve. Snake did. I don't know, did the animals talk? I don't know. But the snake did. And the animals were pets. Because it's not until after the flood that God says, okay, now I'm going to put the fear of you in animals. I can't help but think that this animal that gave his life to cover Adam and Eve was a pet. There weren't that many animals yet, remember? Creation had just happened. So Adam and Eve saw the first bloodshed because of sin. They saw firsthand what sin cost. And we know that God told them about sacrifices because when Cain and Abel are old enough and they start coming to worship, Abel at least brings fat portions. So something is dying. For that sacrifice as well. Adam and Eve did not have Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, but we do. Hebrews 9, 22 says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Blood is precious. How much blood do we have? Do we have a gallon? All together? Do we have a gallon of blood? Can't hear you. Maybe. When you go to give blood, you give a pint. That's not very much. Blood is precious. And if you lose someone so much, you're going to die. There was a man killed just recently in a grain bin accident. It's pretty clear that he just lost too much blood. He just died because of no blood. Because it supplies oxygen. It cleans our system. It takes the waste away from ourselves. Every cell that's part of our body is dependent on blood. After the flood of Noah, God told Noah and his family that he could eat anything he wanted to. Early in creation, God said you had plants to eat. You're supposed to eat plants. That's all you have. But after the flood, he said, now I'm giving you, just like I gave you plants before, now I'm giving you everything. But there's one condition. There's one condition. God, you did this before. You gave one condition and they blew it. There is one condition about eating meat. Genesis 9:3. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. Leviticus 17:11 gives us some explanation. For the life of a creature is in its blood. And I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Atonement simply means being at one with God. That's exactly what that means. I don't know why God set this up this way, but he did. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. If Jesus hadn't died for us, ladies and gentlemen, we would all have to die for ourselves. And what would be the point after we're dead? The blood of Jesus is everything. I remember one time when I was listening to a radio talk show. I thought the guy was actually a Christian. Turns out he wasn't. But he was discussing Christian music. And they were talking about how music is this and music is that. And finally this guy said, I'm not going to give him any honor by mentioning his name, but he said, why does everything have to be about Jesus? Why don't you Christians sing about other things? And I thought to myself, well, you idiot. I didn't know he wasn't a Christian at the time, but I said, you idiot. It's all about Jesus. There's nothing to sing about other than Jesus and the blood that he shed for you and me. It's all about the blood of Jesus. With that little bit of introduction, I'd like to have you have your Bible. I'd like you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 is the last plague. We've had 9 plagues so far. I'm not even going to try to list them. Although I know we've had frogs, and we've had lice, and we've had gnats, and we've had flies, and darkness. You know the rest of them. And Pharaoh God has hardened his heart, and he said, no, you're not getting out of my country, you're going to stay right here. And God tells Moses, this time he will let you go. This plague is going to do it, Moses. So get ready, because you're leaving. Beginning in Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, we're going to skip a few verses, so bear with me. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each man should take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. You may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. Exodus 12:12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Exodus 12:21. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top of the side of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. And with that, we'll end the reading of God's word this morning. I'm just kind of a practical person. I'm not a theologian. But I started thinking about this. I ask you to do the same. If this was me, my father would be dead. My sister would be dead. My wife would be dead. My oldest son would be dead. And five of my grandchildren would be dead. If I had decided, no, I don't need the blood. No, that's okay. I'll manage, thanks. The Egyptians weren't given these instructions, so they really didn't have a choice, but the Israelites had a choice. And if they had chosen, oh, God's blowing smoke again, just relax. Nine people in my family, I'd be alive. But nine people in my family would be dead. How about you? Have you figured yours out? How many of you are firstborn? How many of you are firstborn? Raise your hand if you're the firstborn. Okay, you'd be dead. Now, if you're not the firstborn, just start adding up. Your children, your grandchildren, your siblings who are firstborn. Imagine the cost of bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. It's enormous. It's incredible. And Pharaoh finally says, okay, all right, uncle, I cry, uncle, out of here, go. For a few days until he changes his mind. For the last few minutes, though, I want to concentrate on the blood. You see, Jesus, God wasn't just talking about the blood of sheep. God wasn't just talking about getting the children of Israel out of Egypt. This ties perfectly together with today. We sang the song, the Lamb of God. Didn't you? You sang it. The Lamb that was slaughtered. His blood was poured out to cover my nakedness and to cover my shame and yours as well. Just a couple of observations very quickly. Did you notice that the blood is the only thing that would stop the death angel? Location didn't matter. Heritage did not matter. They were Israelites. They were the Jews. They were protected, right? No, they weren't. If the blood was not over their door, and I noticed one thing here. He said, don't go out of your house. It'd be like saying, yeah, mom and dad got blood on their house. I'm good. I'm going to go out and do whatever. No, it says, don't go out of that house. If you're not in the house and your firstborn, you will be dead. If you're not under the blood, you're going to be dead. Stay under the blood. That's not just an old story, folks. We joke sometimes. It's not a joking matter, but we do joke about it. It's people talk about, well, yeah, when I get to heaven and I'm standing at the door of heaven and I talk to St. Peter and he asks, why should I let you in? That's not going to happen, by the way. Because your decision of heaven or hell is going to be made right here before you leave. You decide. You make that decision. So you won't be standing there asking you. But if he did, picture yourself in heaven this morning. You've died in the body, your body is dead, or the rapture, whichever happens to come first. I'm not going to get into that, but anyway, your soul is in heaven. And someone comes up to you and says, why are you here? What is your answer? How would you answer? I lived a pretty good life. I went to church, did all those things, you know. Wrong answer. The only answer that will mean anything, Jesus shed his blood for me. Jesus shed his blood for me. That's why I am in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, my time is up, so we're going to end with this. Are you under the blood? Are you under the blood? Jesus shed his blood for you. He paid the price. It's all done. Have you accepted that blood as your sacrifice? Thank you for nodding. I see some of you nodding. Thank you. Have you accepted that? Do this. That helps a preacher. Praise the Lord. If you're sitting there and you can't nod, you can do that today. Just say, yes, Lord Jesus. I need a Savior because I'm going to hell without it. I need the blood to cover me because I'm naked and I'm ashamed. Jesus says, come on, come on. Just like the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, he told the thief. If you accept the blood of Jesus as your covering, come on. What can wash away my sin? Nothing.